And it reminds me of the Thomas Delaney line about facing Ireland. It's like trying to open a can of beans with your bare hands. They're a nightmare to play against.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
There's a good opportunity. You've seen the news today that Mark Hanum has left his position as the FAI's chief football officer. Read you a little bit of the statement here to give you some context to what has happened. The statement from the FAI saying that they've confirmed Mark Hanum has taken the decision to step away from his role as chief football officer. They say Mark has spent close to 3 years with the FAI and in that time has played a pivotal role in helping to shape the future of Irish football, including the development of our football pathways plan, which provides a clear direction for the continued growth of the game at all levels, from grassroots to professional to international. It goes on to say, Mark will continue in his position as he conducts a handover. The recruitment process for a new CFO will commence immediately, and details of an interim plan will be confirmed in the coming weeks to cover the period between Mark's departure and a new CFO being appointed. And a quick quote here from Mark Hanum saying that after much consideration, I've made the decision to leave the association and relocate back to England. The decision has not been an easy one to come to, but I believe the time is right to explore new personal and professional opportunities for me and my family. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time living in Ireland and working in Irish football. I'm proud of the work that we've put in place to support its long-term development. The FAI go on to say they're sad to see him go, and grateful for his time. Now, to discuss the details and what it means, the implications for Irish football, delighted to say Gavin Cooney of The 42 joins us on the line. Hi, Gav.
Hi, Adrian. How are things?
I read your article this afternoon and it led with a bombshell announcement. I won't lie, I didn't feel it was a bombshell, but I did canvass a poll around the office and a lot of people were with you.
Yeah, well then you're not spending long enough exposed to FAI politics. Like radiation, it's seeping into my bones here. It was a bit of a bombazzo, to use the Chiringuito phrase. And then having myself and David Snyder putting together a piece for the 42 later on this evening. So we've spoken to a lot of people at this point across the game, and the general consensus reaction is that it is shocking, but it's unsurprising.
Yeah, that's sort of, I think that's where I was at on it. It was the cold light of day, you know, the dramas that had pockmarked Mark Hanum's tenure at the FAI had subsided somewhat over recent times, and maybe it was a good time to get out. And we will get into the highs and lows, Gav, but will you give us your view initially on maybe what sort of a job Mark Hanum has done?
It's very hard to assess the legacy of what he's done because much of what he's done is so long term with the Pathways Plan. And we're now, you know, at the FAI are... there's politicking afoot at various elements of the game of, you know, however many leagues. I think it's 35 of 69 leagues in Ireland at adult, amateur and underage level who are currently not proceeding with the move to the aligned calendar or summer soccer. And that's like one of the main pillars of the Pathways Plan. So at the moment, there's all kinds of suffocating politics going on. And, you know, if, that plan is an overall blueprint for the game to change what's happening here. So that was his biggest piece of work. So we've got to see, first of all, if Irish football gives us a chance to assess his legacy by proceeding with that plan. Now, I have to say, in that press release this morning, both the CEO, David Correll, and the president, Paul Cook, both quoted the Pathways Plan, and privately senior figures to the FAI have given myself and David Snay the impression that they're confident the Pathways Plan will proceed even without Canham's without Canham being there. So that will be what on what we ultimately assess his legacy, and it seems we will get a chance to do that. But a very boring answer to give on an evening radio show to say, ring me back in 12 years' time, Adrian. Otherwise, obviously the big things to judge him on are the managerial appointments. You know, this is ultimately a results business as much as it was for them and is for the managers themselves. The recruitment process, shall we call it, that ultimately ended in Hamir Hallgrimsson's appointment became outwardly a PR farce, which I think dealt Canham some kind of blows of public credibility from which he struggled to recover, even if he was the face of a process in which he was only one of the voices, if that makes sense. And then certainly while Carla Ward looks an impressive appointment for the women's team, the entire Colin Healy affair leaves a fairly sour aftertaste, and that was a fairly lamentable public episode. Now, at the moment, it's TBC on how well Carlo Ward does. Hal Grimson is looking like a pretty shrewd appointment with the men's team. So if Ireland, you know, suddenly stumble to a World Cup in 2026, which is still highly unlikely, but we're feeling a little bit better about the prospect now than we were at the start of Hal Grimson's reign, then, hey, some of us might be toasting Mark Hannum and remembering with a kind of a quaint sigh and a smile that bizarre recruitment process that ended up delivering us with the right guy. But that's, I said, there's an awful lot of imponderables to get through at that point.
It's a good synopsis. And I did wonder in relation to the pathways, because it was one of the first thoughts I had. But as you say, it's even included in the second line of the statement that, they name check it as a thing, as in there isn't going to be the Homer Simpson reversing into the hedge meme here, that the FAI are actually, you know, despite, and it might have been a really easy thing to do with a lot of kickback from the grassroots, you know, he's gone now, that was his thing, and we're going a different direction, but not so.
You would hope so, and I really think the FAI need to stay the course with that, you know, because this is a plan that, while Cannon was its chief architect and was the face of its kind of public delivery, it is based on all these hundreds or thousands of hours of consultations at workshops around the country, however many thousands of hours the FAI have added up and all that. And, you know, it has been endorsed by the president, the CEO, the whole of the board. So you'd hope that it's not just the Mark Cannon plan, that it is the FAI plan, because trust me, Adrian, like, football in this country is in a sufficient state to say that change is absolutely needed. The idea that we can persist with the status quo doesn't work, because look at where it's got us, to be quite honest. Change is needed. And if we end up in a situation where we're in a holding pattern with an interim appointment for a while, so I think Mark Cannon's 3 months to do now at the FAI. It seems like there'll be an interim appointment until there's a permanent successor. If they push polls on everything and wait to see what the new guy think, and if the new guy has different ideas and so on, I think that's just a recipe for more kind of sclerotic FAI underachievement. I really do think that they have to press ahead with it, regardless of, well, we know now he's not going to be there, and the early kind of public statements, at least from the FAI, would give you optimism that they will press ahead with it.
And a sense of belief as well that, like, we've moved on from a sort of one person celebrity culture almost of, you know, this is my vision and my vision only, you know, if I'm not here, this thing doesn't happen, which I was going to say they might have suffered from previously. They absolutely suffered from in a previous regime. I don't want to get, it's interesting to talk, I think, about the pathways and whether you feel it will go ahead, and it looks maybe that is the direction. But also just in relation to, obviously, Mark Cannon moving on in a few months' time, like, you know, when you talk about legacy, I think that, like, a lot of people will evaluate it on, let's say, the communication, particularly around the timeline, obviously, of Stephen Kenny's successor, and then the explanation of the delayed nature to that timeline.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big stuff. Unfortunately, you know, you're judged on, unfortunately, for the vast majority of people who casually follow the Irish football team, they'll judge people in roles like the one Mark Hannum had on one or two big things. And there's nothing bigger than a managerial hunt, really, in Irish football. And it was a mess, like, you know, for what, 230-odd days it took between the day Stephen Kenny's contract expired in November 23 to the appointment of Hamir Hal Grimson in July 24. It's longer, really, because we kind of knew that Stephen Kenny was going to be finishing up as soon as he lost that game in Athens in June. So they basically had a year to put in place their plans. And outwardly, they were absolutely, and they remain publicly and privately, insistent that Hal Grimson was their number one choice, that it was always going to be him. And then there were complications and delays that they've not adequately explained. But to, you know, to say in March that we've John O'Shea in March and we'll have our candidate in April, and then to not deliver on that, and then to give this in-house interview to the FAI, sitting down with the communications executive of the FAI, Cathal Derwin, on a Friday afternoon on FAI TV without submitting themselves to questions from the broader press, just to say, unfortunately, yeah, the process is not concluded, in quite clinical corporate speak, with which the country does not, the wider football public just does not connect, was not good enough in the eyes of people. And, you know, I think we do have a duty to acknowledge that publicly and privately, everyone insists that Hal Grimson was the first choice all along. But the court of public opinion has not bought that. I just remember Stephen Bradley asking rhetorically, you know, when he was criticising the FAI around the Colin Healey situation, I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that Hal Grimson was the first choice? And I can't remember the journalist in the room who was initially asking the question, just said, no, I don't believe them. You know, so that was a little encapsulation of how they just did not win in the court of public opinion there. And ultimately, you become the face of that. It's hard to recover from that, really. And what I should say is that, you know, Cannabis made the face of that, but he wasn't the only voice involved. Like, we know the old CEO, Jonathan Hill, was involved in the recruitment process. We know the HR director, Aoife Rafferty, was involved. We know David Correll was involved when he replaced Hill as CEO. And we know that the president, Paul Cook, and especially the board director, Paddy Bonner, were involved because we've seen the Late Late Show. We know Carla Ward has said, either jokingly or seriously, that Paddy Bonner was the only person in the interview room asking questions about football. So that's where I have sympathy for Canham, that he was one member of that recruitment panel, but publicly he became the sole face of it.
Yeah, I think he did. I seem to recall a conversation where he was talking to Nathan, and he did seem to suggest that he was also talking football in that conversation. But
Adrian, and he said that to us as well. I should acknowledge.
Yeah, he did.
And
a bit like the Hamer Helgrimson one, we shall never know what actually happened in that room, of course. But
potentially, yeah, potentially.
So, yes, you mentioned a phrase there about sort of corporate terminology. I can't remember the exact expression you used, but it's definitely one that I feel resonated with me a lot. Like, even in the aftermath, obviously, of the Colin Healy situation, it was something that I think even in the explanation of it, people felt there was a coldness to it that didn't quite strike the chord that was, you know, like, I think you can do really all the best work in the world behind the scenes. And like you said, come back to me in 12 years' time about the pathways, and it could be the most fantastic scheme of all time. Hamer Helgrimson could qualify us for the next 14 World Cups running, and all of that good stuff. But like, there is just that bit of the communication of it was a bit corporate.
It's just a very messy situation. And it's a situation of he said, Colin Healy says he turned down the Cove job because he was given a verbal assurance by Mark Hannum that his contract would be extended regardless of the result against Wales in the Euro 2025 playoff. And then all of a sudden his contract wasn't renewed. Now, whatever about their internal communications, the quality of their internal comms, because if you remember that Colin Healy statement drew attention to an apparent disconnect between Canham's view on things, which is Colin's contract has not been renewed, and Correll's view on things, which is Colin has decided to leave to pursue another opportunity. That Colin Healy wasn't included in the public statement announcing Eileen Gleeson's exit is not good enough. And they did acknowledge afterwards that that's something we have to acknowledge and review. I'm sorry, like, these things, this is obvious. How you don't include that in the initial statement is beyond me. And they did face an excellent question from, I think it was Aidan Fitzmaurice of the Irish Indo, at that press conference after the Healy statement came out, saying that there was just a lack of, there was a cold tone and there was a lack of compassion at the top table. I do think that that did kind of get to both of those involved, and there were subsequent, you know, Mark Hannum's subsequent explanations and apologies for the situation did say if there was a lack of compassion there, we really regret that. But it was just such a messy situation, Adrian. It's he said, and I'm really not sure what the resolution to that will be, if there is any further movement from here. But certainly it led to another barrage of negative headlines against Mark Hannum. Like, I mean, it did lead to criticism from Stephen Bradley, from James McLean, from all these high profile figures. And it was getting to a point that, you know, like, people that we talked to inside the FAI were saying that the Cannon was, you know, looked a little bit kind of broken and worn down by this toward the end. Now, he is insistent that that didn't play any part in his decision to leave, that it's just predominantly for personal reasons. But I think there was an acknowledgement that the weight of the other public criticism around the managerial search, all the politicking around the calendar and all the brickbats that were thrown at him as part of those consultations and as it went on, the weight of it was just all accumulating. So when I say it's shocking but not surprising that he's leaving, that's really what I'm getting at.
From the work that yourself and Dave are doing, are there any likely alternatives emerging?
Don't know now. So there will be an interim appointment. Shane Robinson, once of Shamrock Rovers Academy, is the assistant director of football, so his deputy. So it would make sense if he steps up on an interim basis, or someone else internally like Niall O'Regan. And then otherwise, I've no idea, to be honest. I mean, it's very early names. I mean, I'm sure John Morling's name will be It will be interested, should I say, if John Morling is interested in the job, because he was initially appointed. He went for the job when Canham got it, but was appointed briefly as his kind of deputy, basically to kind of, you know, give him a kind of a guiding hand through the landscape of Irish football. He's since gone on to be the technical director at Hong Kong, has been an academy manager at Brighton, and in a previous life worked at the FAI coaching underage teams. So it would be interesting to see if he reapplied for the role, given he wasn't far off getting it the last time. Otherwise, you know, you've got like guys, I mean, would Irish people working abroad come home? Like Fergal Harkin built a good name for himself as loan manager at Man City, moved to Standard Liège, and he's only recently gone in at Bolton Wanderers. Would he be interested in the role? You know, generally, you know, football coaches and managers have applied for this role in the past. I mean, one of the reasons Canham got it previously is he had broader perspective. He'd been in football and the head of kind of coach development, but had a broader perspective, and the FAI felt that was beneficial rather than someone just coming from a coaching background. But who knows if they'll feel the same way again.
Yeah. How long is it before somebody mentions Lee Carsley and we start to go on that merry-go-round again? Maybe this is the first time that's happened. Unlikely. One last one on it, Gav. Just the sort of, it struck myself and Mick were talking earlier on just about the post John Delaney world, and like he's the last connection to the aftermath of that. You know, Roy Barrett gone, Jonathan Hill gone, Stephen Kenny, Vera Powell in terms of the managers, and he's gone on, the last connection to that era, I suppose. If we're blank slating all of this, what do you feel the role here is, in the sense of, we've talked a lot in this conversation about the pathways, and it feels like, you know, that's nearly a template for if you can come in and have the force of personality or charisma or whatever it is to win the day with that thing, then that's the success of your role. Or what's your, is that it? Is there more to it? What's your sense of what the role here should be?
It's a broad role, but I really think that it sounds like the FAI will say that this person has to come in and drive forward the implementation of the pathways plan. And if that's it, they need a great communicator and basically a great leader with credibility across all of the Irish game to bring people along with them. You know, we associate those skills with managers, you know, like Jurgen Klopp going into Liverpool and turbocharging everything and bringing everyone on a journey together. I actually think that's what they really need here. Like, they have down on paper the vision. I'd be surprised, based again, even just off that statement today, whether they want to rip up that vision and go again. I think it would be a supreme waste of time and energy and money if they were going to do that. And I don't think they want to do it. So I think the role will be to come in and to be like a credible person who can bring people along with them. Rightly or wrongly, and my personal view will be wrongly, there's always been a suspicion of an outsider coming into this role. I always thought that it would be beneficial for people to arrive without baggage, to say that, you know, the grassroots can't say this guy's a League of Ireland man, or the adult amateur game can't say this guy's a grassroots guy, or vice versa. But with Rude Doctor and now with Mark Canham, there's been consistent criticism that they haven't communicated well enough with the grassroots and brought people along with them. Now, I would view that as, who's the common denominator here? You know, it's generally the people complaining. But perhaps it has to be someone from an Irish football background or an Irish sports background just to bring people along with them. That would be, the FAI may have different ideas, but that's my, based off what we've heard today and their public statement, that would be my interpretation of how they see the role. So it's going to be fascinating. See who gets it.
Yeah, again, even that's fraught because you come with baggage and, you know, depending on where this potential candidate is coming from, we shall see. I was going to say we'll wait with bated breath. We're not going to quite do that. It'll take 3 months and there'll be a lot more conversation about it, but good to get that context on it and look forward to your reporting on it a bit later on. Gavin Cooney, the 42.e. Thanks a million, Gav.
Thanks very much.